Welcome, everybody, and happy Thanksgiving. Thank you. My name is Derek. I'm one of the pastors here. And we're taking a break from all our series this Sunday just to talk about Thanksgiving. I mean, the last few weeks we've been talking about Riverside, about who we are as a church, and how we've been saying the contextualized mission of God works itself out in our community. That's what does this look like here at Riverside to carry out the great commissions that God has given us. And we're going to be starting a new series next week. And I just want to say, because I'm feeling self-conscious about it, there will be other people speaking in the next series, okay? Just so we're really clear. I'm getting self-conscious about it, but that's okay. And but today, we're just going to take a break from that just to talk about Thanksgiving. As I was preparing for this, I was thinking about just my life and sort of the things you think about when you think about being thankful. I was thinking about how great it is as I'm sitting in my house where I'm warm and I'm dry. I have like food in my fridge. I have clean water in the tap. I mean, there's just so many things to be thankful for. My beautiful wife and children and my family and my friends. I'm just thankful for so many things. And then I started thinking, well, what else can I be thankful for? And I started thinking about all the experiences that I've had, all the conversations with people, all these little adventures that I've had the opportunity to go on. And it sometimes happens in the process of doing some sort of deep introspective exercise like this, I had like this like really odd realization about myself. And that's that sometimes I get used to things way too quickly, and sometimes I don't get used to them fast enough, okay? And I can explain to you what this looks like. Anybody here been whitewater rafting before? Whitewater rafting? That was a hard head shake back there. That was like a, heck no, I'm never gonna do that. But yeah, a few people whitewater rafting, okay. I remember the first time I went whitewater rafting, okay? So you go down to the river, and there's all this activity. You're like signing waivers that if you read them carefully, list many, many ways you could die and that you won't be upset about it. And you know, you sign the waivers, and they're like giving you like a life jacket and like you handed like an oar or something to hold on to. And then you all kind of clump together in like a clearing in the trees. This is at least what it was like for me. And someone says, okay, everybody, we're going to go through the briefing. And I'm thinking like, you know, here's how you paddle when you're in a big inflatable dinghy, you know, and here's what we're gonna do, and here's how much fun this is gonna be. But that wasn't really the briefing that I had. You know, that's what I went into it with. And there was a little bit of like, hey, everybody, we're gonna have so much fun here today, but we need to talk about a couple things. And basically, it was just all the ways that the river was going to try to kill me. And so they're like, hey, so if you fall out of the boat and you get caught in like a whirlpool, you can get sucked down into the whirlpool, and even with the life jacket on, it'll press you against the bottom of the river and then you'll die. Like, oh, okay. And then it's like, yeah, and if you fall out of the boat and you get swept along the side and you get stuck under a log or something like that, you'll get pushed under by the pressure of the water. We will have a hard time seeing you, and then you'll die. And I was like, okay. And if you get, you know, if you fall out of the boat and you get stuck between two rocks, it'll just, the pressure of the water will push you in between those rocks, and there's really nothing we can do to get you out, and then you'll die. And I'm just like, oh, okay. And then it's just like, and then it just come up with, oh yeah, and if you get thrown out of the boat and you get dashed against the rocks, it might knock you unconscious. And then if you're floating face down, then you'll die. And it just kept on telling us all the ways we're gonna die. And you're standing there in a group of other people that just like 2 minutes ago were like, this is gonna be amazing, right? But you don't wanna be the one who punks out and runs, right? Like, and it's just like, no, I'm out. Like just drops the oar, takes off. Like, nobody wants to be that. So we're all looking around at each other with this like thinly veiled terror, you know, trying, yeah, well, this is gonna be great, isn't it? You know, and nobody wants to, and then you get loaded into a bus, which I'm convinced the reason why they don't say, hey, just carpool up to where we're gonna actually get on the river is because some people would just go home. They would get in the car and they'd be like, so, after that briefing, how do we feel about this? It's like, no, we're out. And they would just leave and nobody would show up, and then their business would collapse. So they load you in a bus where you all continue to pretend to be really excited about what you're doing. And then you get, from my first trip, we got all the way kind of up to where we were on the river, and we get out, and we're all just like, hey, it's gonna be so much fun. And then you can hear the river, and you're like, what have I done? And then in my case, they're like, oh, hey, everybody, we just need you over here. We have one more thing we need to tell you. And I'm like, well, you know, like, this has got to be something about, like, you know, lunch is gonna be this or whatever. We get over, it's like, hey, we forgot to tell you, if you fall out of the boat, you need to make sure that your legs stay on the surface of the water. Like you're supposed to sit back and you put your legs up. Don't put them down to try and find some footing on some rock. Because if your foot goes under a rock, it'll get stuck there. The water will push you over on top of it, and then you'll get stuck and you'll die. And it's like, oh, Man, I thought we were out of those, but this is great. Thank you so much. So now I have a new fear unlocked for keeping, I have to keep my feet. Like, if I went in, I was convinced my feet were going to be in the air. I would just, like, I would drown myself. I was not going to be that guy that got his foot stuck under a rock. But you know what? I didn't die. I don't, thank you. Thank you for applauding that. Thank you for celebrating my not death. And you know what else? Nobody else died too, because I was sitting there listening to the talk at the beginning. I was like, it's really weird that we haven't heard about all these people dying on this river. Because with the way they're talking about it, they must lose like half the boat to the river every time. And you never hear about this. They do an excellent job of keeping this shut down. But you know what? Nobody died. And people fell out of the boat and they didn't die. We got in the back in the boat. Nobody died. So fast forward 2 years down the road, I'm going to go whitewater rafting again. And I get to the clearing and I'm like, this is amazing. And they're talking about how I can die. I'm like, look at the sky. This is beautiful. I can't wait to get on the river. And I'm like, looking at the person next to me. And it's their first time. I'm like, don't worry. No one dies. This is a, like, just this, spoilers. I've gone before. Anyone else? Yeah, it's going to be okay. You know, because what happened was I went and I had one good experience. So my immediate response is, well, last time it went well. Nobody died last time. Nobody's going to die this time. It's going to be great. Which is probably a little bit more comfortable than I should have been. But you know what? Nobody died. We all had a great time. Another similar experience. I went ziplining in Costa Rica. Anybody ever done that? Where you like hook yourself up to like a cable and then you don't know these people. Like, this is a crazy idea. You don't know these people. You don't know who's been maintaining this equipment. And then you hook yourself on and throw yourself out into space. And I have a really intense fear of heights. It's inconsistent. But when it shows up hard. And it showed up. And then I get there and like, oh, this isn't just zip lines. We're rappelling down waterfalls. I'm like, I don't know what that is. I don't know how to do that. Like, why are we adding complications to this already terrifying excursion? And every time we would go to like hook myself onto something, I was like, this is it. My family will never see me again. I'm gonna fall into the jungle. No one will ever find me. I'm gonna die. Every time we went to do it, I was gonna die. But you know what? I didn't die. I had a great experience. I didn't die. And so the next zip line I did, I was a bird. I just got hooked up and I was like, whoa, like hands off. I'm like turning upside down. I'm like, why? Because I survived the last time. So this time's going to go great too. We had our first child, Aaliyah. You know, you get a baby, you know, and it's a new baby. Everybody remember the first new baby experience? You're like, oh my gosh, this is made out of porcelain and paper mache. Like what am I? And then you have to like, then it comes time to go home. Unsupervised, you know, and you put the baby in the car seat and the nurse like tore the little baby pillow thing out. She's like, you can't use that. That's not safe. I'm like, we didn't know. And so it's like, no, you got to roll up the towels, the little burp cloth things and like fold them around their head. So they're in like a space shuttle-esque seat where they can't move at all. And we're just like, oh my goodness, are we doing this right? And then they like, you have to like get their approval before you leave. They're like, yes, you may go. But then that's it. And we got in the car and I'm like eyeballing every car on the road. Don't come near me. Don't come near me. You know, I've got a baby in here. I don't know what I'm doing. You know, like, and it's just, it's a really terrifying ordeal. You're just thinking of all the ways. What if I didn't fold the towels the right way and the head falls over? I don't know. Like, second kid, it's just like, chuck him in the seat, chuck him in the car, off we go. I don't even think we got the approval of the nurse. I was just like, what are they going to do? Like, we're not in jail, like we're just gonna go. You know, we love Judah, you know, and I was like, but it was just like, what, but why? Because I did it before and it turned out okay. You know, we didn't nail it, but that's what first children are for. So like, you know, we've done it before, it's gonna be okay. And I realized like, man, like I like these things when I'm remembering them, like it has such a profound impact on the next time around where I come to this. The next time around when I encounter this. But I told you, I realized it was kind of this like double-ended thing, because I realized that when I'm looking back and I can remember these things, some of these things I get used to far too quickly, right? I should still have been a little bit more concerned second time around whitewater rafting. I probably should have held on to the cables a little bit more when I went ziplining for the second time. Maybe I should have checked the blankets a little bit on Judah, but he was okay. You know, I got used to it really quickly, but then I don't always do that though, because those are the things that are easy to remember. It's easy to remember the last time you went whitewater rafting, because like I don't do that every weekend, right? It's easy to remember the last time I had a kid. I've only got two of them. You know, it's easy to remember those things because they stand out in my mind. It's easy for me to go back and look at the thing that I'm currently participating in a different way because of my past experience when they're that these big events, these big things that happen. But like, what about when all of a sudden a family member is really sick? What about when, you know, I lose a job, I get laid off, or you know, I need to go somewhere else? What about when I lose someone that I care about? What about when the interest rate changes? What about when, you know, the cost of something goes up? What about all these experiences? And I realize I don't do that as well in those things. I don't do that as well in the mundane things. I don't necessarily look at these negative things or just these things in life that happen and run back through my memory banks because it's just not a part of the process for me. But it's such a profoundly important thing to do, such an profoundly important practice for us, especially as Christians, to participating in. I want to show you why. We're going to turn to the Bible. We're going to take a quick look at a few verses. You've heard some of them already this morning. But as I was looking through the Word for verses on thankfulness, I was struck by how often, like, the epistles, the letters to the church are signed off with something to do with thankfulness. And I want to take a look at a few of those right now. But we're going to do something we do as a church. Every Sunday that we grab this book, we want to remind ourselves that this is not just a book. And on Thanksgiving, it would seem inappropriate to not stop and recognize what this is, okay? There's a vein that's running through the service, and one of these things is recognizing what we have. So if you want to hold your Bible, your tablet, your phone, whatever you're reading the Word on, and let's say this together. This is my Bible. It is God speaking to me. I am who He says I am. I do what He says I can do. I have what He says I can have. I choose to open my heart to receive a word from God that changes my life forever. Amen. Amen. All right, if we can get the first verse up on here, let's do a quick survey of some of the ends of the epistles. Philippians 4:6. Don't worry about anything. That's a commandment, okay? So stop it. Just don't worry. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He has done. Don't worry. How are we not supposed to worry? Thank Him, okay? Good. Let's move on. Next one. Colossians 3:15, and let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful. Okay? So everybody, just always be thankful and then you won't worry about anything, all right? This is a really easy service this morning, really easy advice. Always be thankful. But when you read this, it's fair to ask, like, always? There's some bad days. There's some bad situations. What do you mean always be thankful? That seems unreasonable. And you know what? That's okay. It does seem unreasonable. Why is that so important, though? How are we supposed to do that? We're going to talk about that. Let's go to the next one. 1 Thessalonians. Always be joyful. Never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong in Christ Jesus. Just in case you didn't get it on the last one, be thankful in all circumstances. These are letters written during, like, the Roman occupation of Israel. Christians are being persecuted, okay? This is not, like, an easy thing to say, and this is a commandment. Just be thankful in all circumstances, which, again, begs the question, how are you supposed to do that? Like, is this a will thing? Like, just try harder. And why? Why do I have to be thankful all the time? I can't take a little bit of a break? Like, God's got to be on me for every moment of every day. Hey, are you being thankful right now? You know, like, it's just, why is that so, so important? See, when we talk about thankfulness, and we talk about Thanksgiving, even when we talk about thankfulness as like a Christian practice, a lot of times I have viewed this as like a way to avoid being impolite. You know, you sit down, you list all the things that God has given you, and I'm a Canadian, you know, being impolite is like a cardinal sin for us, right? So, like, God has given me so much. I don't want to be that guy being like, well, you haven't done anything for me lately, God, you know? So I want to, you know, being thankful. It's like it's a way to avoid being impolite, a way to avoid being, like, offensive to God, taking Him for granted, all these things. And so I view this commission to being thankful as primarily about just not being ungrateful. And there's a component of that, okay? Like, it's good to be grateful. And we talk about this with my children all the time, right? It's good to be grateful, and that's okay. Like, if that was all we were talking about this Sunday, we would at least have part of the story. But that's not the full picture of the role that thankfulness plays in our lives. Because there's something deeply, deeply powerful, deeply formative about being thankful, about thanksgiving, especially towards God. Because, and if we can get our statement up on the screen, please. Because our belief in God's future actions is empowered by our awareness of his past faithfulness. I'm going to say that again. Our belief in God's future actions is empowered by our awareness of his past faithfulness. It's remarkable. If you go through the Bible, if you're reading through the Old Testament, how many times in the New Testament as well, you will see the word remember. Remember, 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 remember. It's one of the most consistent commandments that God gives to his people, both in the Old Testament and in the New. Remember, remember, remember. And if you look through the kings and queens of Israel, and you look at what made a good king or queen and what made a king or queen that ultimately failed and what they were going to do, and like with remarkable consistency, the good kings, the good queens were the ones that had the reading of the book of the law, the stories of Israel. They celebrated the feasts they were supposed to celebrate, and all these feasts were orientated around remembering something God had done. They would come together and they would remember. And then you have the kings and queens that fail. What did they do? They lost the book of the law. They never talked about what God had done. They never celebrated the things that he had led them through. They forgot them. You look at Israel, they're coming out of Egypt. They've been rescued from slavery to Egypt. God parts the Red Sea after, you know, sending all these plagues, convinced Pharaoh to let them go. So there's been a lot miraculous going on. They get to the other side of the Red Sea and they immediately start to grumble that they've been brought out to the wilderness to die because, well, we don't have any food, we don't have any water. They forgot so quickly. God just parted the Red Sea. You don't think he's got your like snacks and drinks locked up? Like, you don't think he can take care of that? But they just forgot so, so quickly. And then you have these other pictures. I mean, David. The great story, David and Goliath. He comes across this giant of a man mocking God, mocking the people of God. And he says, look, I'm going to go take care of that. And they're like, well, who are you? You're just some little kid. He's like, no. I have fought bears and I have fought lions and God has delivered me, so he will deliver me from this. What's David doing? He's remembering. Because you know what? Like, Goliath was a big dude. Have you come face to face with a bear? Like, but he remembered that God had delivered him. Someone actually shared with me a story, a piece of scripture from Chronicles. And it's this story where I believe it's Elisha, and they're surrounded by the enemy, and the person who's with him, his assistant, is like panicking. Elisha says, Lord, open the eyes of this man so he can see. And then he sees this army, this host of people around him. And I was reading that this week. You know what I don't see? You know what I'm not sure about? I'm not sure that Elisha could see. I'm not sure that he prayed that prayer because he could see it. I think that he was just like, no, of course God's got us. Of course he's with us. Of course he's more people with us than is with this enemy army. Like, can you, God, Lord, just open this guy's eyes to get him up to date, and then we're going to move on. The power of remembering is so profound. The power of remembering changes and shapes the way that we view the future. And it's such a simple thing, but it's so easy to not do as well. I want to read to you from Psalm chapter 77. I'm going to read the whole thing to you. It's not that long. And so this is a psalm written by a Levite. His name was Asaph. And we're going to read this together. I want you to track like what's going on in this, okay? We're going to pause, you know, around the middle of this and talk about it a bit, but let's track really carefully what's happening. So we're going to read this to you. It says, I cry out to you, God. Yes, I shout. Oh, that God will listen to me. When I was in deep trouble, I searched for the Lord. All night long, I prayed with hands lifted towards heaven, but my soul was not comforted. I think of God and I moan, overwhelmed with longing for his help. You don't let me sleep. I am too distressed even to pray. I think of the good days long since ended, when my nights were filled with joyful songs. I search my soul and ponder the difference now. Has the Lord rejected me forever? Will he never again be kind to me? Is his unfailing love gone forever? Have his promises permanently failed? Has God forgotten to be gracious? Has he slammed the door on his compassion? And I said, this is my fate. The Most High has turned his hand against me. And now this is a dramatic psalm. But I feel like there's been chapters in my life, I'm pretty confident in a lot of people's lives, where we have a similar experience. Something has happened, you know, the math isn't mathing right, or you get a phone call from a doctor or from someone who heard from a doctor, something has changed, you hear about something that happens back home, whatever that is, and all of a sudden it feels like the bottom has just fallen out on your life. And all that's underneath you is just this great big black hole. And that kind of like acidic feeling of anxiety that just like robs you of your sleep, and you're trying to figure out an end around on these life circumstances. And maybe if you crunch the numbers again, maybe if you run through what's going on again, you'll figure a way out. I mean, I don't know if I'm alone in this, but I feel like this, that's what this first part of the psalm is writing about. Like, God has clearly forgotten me. In order for things to get this bad, God has left the building. He doesn't care about me. I am alone. There is no one to turn to. There's no secret bag of gold buried in the backyard. I do not know how this is going to work out. Actually, I do know that it is not going to work out. I have nothing. God has turned his face from me, and that is going to be it. And I feel like it's important to recognize that sometimes, in kind of like a bit of a vacuum, that can be an accurate assessment of where things are. Right? That's a feeling that I have felt, that other people have felt. I just don't know how this is going to work out. I just don't know how this is going to turn out. I don't know what's going to happen. I'm just going to get swallowed up by this, and this will be the story of my life. Well, let's pay attention to this, though, because the next verse says, "But then I recall all you have done, O Lord. I remember your wonderful deeds of long ago. They are constantly in my thoughts. I cannot stop thinking about your mighty works. O God, your ways are holy. Is there any God as mighty as you? You are the God of great wonders. You demonstrate your awesome power among the nations. By your strong arm, you redeemed your people and descendants of Jacob and Joseph. When the Red Sea saw you, O God, its waters looked and trembled. The sea quaked to its very depths. The clouds poured down rain. The thunder rumbled in the sky. Your arrows of lightning flashed. Your thunder roared from the whirlwind. The lightning lit up the world. The earth trembled and shook. Your road led through the sea. Your pathway through the mighty waters, a pathway no one knew was there. You led your people along that road like a flock of sheep, with Moses and Aaron as their shepherds. Lord, I am alone. There is no answers here, but I remember the way you have delivered those before me. I remember the things that you have done in the past." This psalm turns on a dime, and it turns on that phrase, "but I remember." And it's really important that we notice that nothing has changed in this song. It's not like he was sitting there writing this like really sad, emotional song, and then someone showed up and was like, "Asaf, don't worry, everything's okay now." It's like, "Oh, great. And then, Lord, you're so great." And it just like, it changed, right? Whatever his situation was, and I don't think we know exactly what it was, but Israel had a lot of experiences of the pits of despair. But it's not like as he was writing this song, his circumstances changed. Nothing around him shifted in the process of writing this. He's writing a song. It's not like the resources showed up, or the army was delivered, or the king got his act together. Nothing changed. The only thing that changed was within him. The only thing that changed was he started to look at life through the lens of what God had done. And this story of the Exodus is one that Israel was commanded to celebrate and remember again and again and again. And quite honestly, with good reason. Hey guys, remember when the Lord parted the sea? Remember that time when we walked across, our ancestors walked across the sea floor where there was no pathway? Do you think maybe he's got this handled too? Do you think maybe he can handle this, invading army, or maybe can he handle this famine? Because he was, after all, the God that parted the Red Sea. You remember the manna? When our ancestors would wake up and there's just like bread on the ground. And they would just pick up the bread and eat it every morning. They would just pick up bread off the ground. Remember that? I think maybe if he did that, he can provide for us now too. It was this beautiful exercise because, again, you have to remember, Israel was not hearing from God every day. Like, we have the opportunity to. I can get up in the morning. God can speak to me. The Holy Spirit is in me. Prophets would show up in Israel sometimes every 100, 200 years. In the in-between time, what do they need to do? They remembered, they remembered, they remembered, they remembered. All those verses that we read that were talking about Thanksgiving have something in common. The word that's typically used for thankfulness or thanksgiving in the New Testament is actually a really interesting word that has its roots coming out of the practice of emperor worship. And so there's this whole idea through like Greek culture, Roman culture that developed where the emperor was not just the leader of the country, but there was a divine component to them. And you got to think they're ruling like most of the known world. That would have been pretty easy to convince people of. But so this whole idea of thankfulness, the word, the particular word that's being used there is about attributing credit to something divine. Because it's not just the act of remembering, right? It's not just the act of remembering, well, like last time this turned out okay. There's something more that God is inviting us to do. Because Israel, you know, when they're remembering the parting of the sea, when Asaph is remembering the parting of the Red Sea, it's not because he's currently standing in front of another sea and he's like really hoping this was not a once-in-a-lifetime thing, right? Or a once-in-generations thing. There's something more that's going on here than just remembering. What's happening is it's the attributing of credit to something divine, the looking at something and being like, yeah, that last time I came this way, this is what God did, and that is why it worked out okay. Last time that we thought we might not have enough, God is the one who provided, and so this time around, we feel like we might not have enough, God will provide again. Last time when I didn't know how my life was going to turn out, it's not just that it did turn out, it's that God intervened miraculously and brought it all together for his glory and for his good, and he directed me where I needed to put my steps, and I walked that way, and his hands was on it. So this time, when I don't know how this is going to work out, I'm trusting that God will again have his hand on my life and direct my steps, and he will guide me the way that I need to go. It's not just the remembering, it's the remembering that there's a divine involvement, that God himself is intimately connected to our lives. Because the Bible is really clear, God does not change. With any of us, we could look and be like, well, last time Derek was helpful, but I don't know about this time. You know, this time, I don't know if he's going to be as helpful this time around. But with God, it doesn't work that way. With God, we can say, his character has not changed. His love for us has not changed. His willingness to participate in our lives has not changed. Okay, and this is one of those great moments because I still struggle with like, how are we supposed to foster faith? The Bible just says like, oh, there's things hard, just have faith. And it's like, oh, okay, like faith, but like, how do we foster that? How are we supposed to encourage that? How are we supposed to empower that? And again, it's our ability to remember what it is that God has done that empowers our belief in his future actions. Because God has done this, he will do this. And they don't even need to be the last time that I had this exact same situation. But remember when God showed up in our lives in that way? The love that we felt through that, his care that shows through that, he's gonna show up this way too. And I know many of your stories, there is significant unanswered questions, significant needs in the lives of people that in my life right now. And I can hang out just in the first half of this psalm, and I can just be, you know, like many other psalms, and David writes, just send a mountain to fall down on top of me. Hide me from the sight of the Lord. This is it. You know, I'm languishing in a pit of despair. Or I can participate in shifting my own perspective by joining with Asaph in the but I remember. Yes. And so when we talk about Thanksgiving, when we talk about thankfulness, and we have these videos, and we have these people sharing up here, it's important that we realize this is not just a listing of things we want to seem grateful for to not seem ungrateful, but that what we're participating in this is a divine act. It's a sacred act. We are effectively standing, building altars in our lives to say, remember this moment. Remember when God delivered us from that. Remember when God showed up in that. And that is how he will show up again in the future. That is how he's showing up right now, even though I didn't know. And the more honest those reflections are, the better. Don't romanticize it for yourself. There's been chapters of my life where I was just talking to someone, you know, this week that's like, I think it's time for me to move in another direction. And they said, I don't know to what. I just feel like it's time to move. I'm like, oh, hey, I've heard that before. That's how my life works. God comes to me and basically says something's going to change. And that used to freak me right out because he didn't offer any details. He didn't offer any guidance. I'm like, okay, can we workshop this a bit? Can we like have a bit of a brainstorm session? I've got some grids I'd like to put some information on. Do you have a timeline for me? And he's like, nope. I just want to let you know things are going to change. But you know what? By time like 5 or 6 or 7, I was like, wait, there's a pattern. There's a pattern here. I spent the last 6 times panicking. Maybe what I can do instead is stop for a moment and think about all the times where he gave me that impression, where he gave me that heads up, and it all worked out. I can do that through the simple act of being thankful.